It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley are here, and a very special guest coming up, Gabe Ahl from the Windows Insider program. We'll talk about what's coming up. In fact, a big release just a few days off. Gabe has the details. We'll also take a look at all the Microsoft news. It's time. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for Twit's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley, episode 408, recorded Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. Looped! Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/Windows. That's Lynda.com/Windows. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover Windows Weekly and all the stuff that Microsoft's up to, which these days is a lot. A lot. Thankfully, we have Mary Jo Foley here. That's her beat. All About Microsoft.com is her site. And she knows more and tells all, which is nice. Paul Theroux, on the other hand, is a cagey bastard. You never know what he knows. Did you ever reveal Paul Theroux from Theroux.com? And I have the lovely Theroux cup. In fact, let's do the ritual decanting of my coffee.
Leo, did you see the beer stein that we're going to have at Ignite?
No, you're going to have a Theroux stein?
That's awesome.
Wow. Just in time for Passover. Here's the Twit cup. I'm going to pour the ritual decanting. Oh, it's going to be everywhere. Oh, God. There, no. Just fits.
You got your Twit in my throat.
We have a little tiny spill. Nothing to worry about. It's just on the ad copy. So if I screw up, you'll know why. Here comes John. John hates it when I do stuff like that. He's our studio manager. He says, no moisture. Not with microfiber. That could be washed. So, Paul, when you were with us last week, you said you knew something, but you couldn't say it till Thursday.
Well, no. So, I've been this has been mischaracterized.
Tell me, do.
No, I went digging in my cellar and came up with a box of old gadgets, and I decided to use one of them for my throwback Thursday post on Thursday. Oh. That gadget is this. It was my original Windows phone from 2010.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
I have somewhere my Samsung Focus S, but that's a Windows 6 phone, right?
You know what I also have here? Let me see if I can find it. It doesn't work anymore, unfortunately. Is the first iPhone.
Look at that.
Which also has kind of a curiously thick, you know, and stubby
amazing?
Kind of
form. Yeah. I keep those too. I don't think I think
it doesn't bend. That's true, by the way.
Yes.
This thing's rock solid. You could actually drive a nail with this thing.
Well, I made out of steel, right?
Yep.
I have the Apple phone. I have several generations. I wonder if I have them all somewhere. I might. Speaking of
best
all,
Apple. Yes.
Gabe Ahl is coming.
Yep.
A little later on in the show, Gabe Ahl, the guy who knows all literally and tweets much on the Twitter, is going to join us. The guy we've been kind of flogging for the last month or so, saying this is if you want to know,
he's come for our one-uppance or whatever.
Yeah. He says, "Stop flogging me." So that's coming up in a little bit. Before we do that, though, you also see. I thought, Paul, that you had a new Windows phone or something like that. That's what we all thought.
I thought he did too. I was like, "What do you have?
I do have a new. I have two new Windows phones.
Really, really old.
I have new laptops. that I also can't show you.
Oh, well, but, see, he does have stuff he can't.
This stuff.
So, but I do want to ask about the Surface 3, because I think you, did you both get Surface 3s?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Let's hear. What do you think?
So well, I think Mary Jo's impression is, most important.
I know. Everybody wants to know, does it run Notepad well? Yes.
By the way, to give you an idea of the differences in some of our readers anyway, everyone wants to know from me whether it runs Visual Studio, whether it runs full-blown Photoshop with the Adobe Creative Cloud, whether, it's like this, like complete. And both of these kinds of questions are on the exact wrong ends of where this device is, right?
Which is actually somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah.
It's a little better than a Notepad runner.
It's a little bit better. I mean, even RT was good for that.
Yeah.
It is. But you know what? It's snappier than I thought it was going to be. Limited testing so far. Because, it has an Atom processor. So we were kind of like, how good is it going to be in terms of surfing and opening apps and all? And it's much better than I thought.
Is it a Core M?
No. It's an Atom X7. Which is the Cherry Trail brand new. Never appeared in a device before.
Cherry Trail.
Yes.
So, snappy. Now, it's probably too early to know about battery life, yeah?
Yeah, not yet. Well, but
no, but you know what I can say is with my Surface RT, whenever I would put it in connected standby, hibernate, and I'd come back a day or two later, the battery would be dead, even if I hadn't touched it.
Right.
And so far on this, I've charged it once, and it still has quite a bit of battery life left, and I've used it on and off. So at least this seems to be working better, the connected standby part of this.
Dr. Mom says with Cherry Trail in it, it should be great for Candy Crush Saga.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what it's not going to be great for is 3D games, like actual video games. It's not going to be good for that. So I did the 3D Mark, the modern version graphics test, and it doesn't actually do much better than Surface 2. But when you do a more kind of mainstream, like PC Mark 8, the home conventional score was 1,432 versus, 1,947 for my Surface Pro 3. So that's actually not horrible. And it sort of falls within the range of the performance that Microsoft was talking about. I think they said something like 73%-ish. Of the performance kind of thing of a i3 version of the Surface Pro 3. So I think for desktop tasks, web browsing, photo editing, that kind of stuff, I think it's going to be pretty good across the board for normal use. In other words, these people are not going to be heavy multitaskers. They're not going to have iTunes, Chrome, Photoshop, Visual Studio all running at the same time. But a normal mix of desktop apps, I think it looks like it's going to be pretty good.
Paul, do you have an end cap in your office for your books? Is that what it is behind you over your left shoulder?
Oh, are they there?
It looks like one of those displays you put in a bookstore.
No, those are posters from my
favorite. Oh, it's a poster. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I used to have it's funny you just said that because I just posted a picture on Facebook of my son from years ago. And in my office at the time, I had a huge bookshelf over here that had all of my books in it, in my office, because I need to refer to my own books from time to time.
It's kind of nice. By the way, happy birthday. Mark is 17.
Yeah.
I know.
Unbelievable. And I loved the montage you put up of him as a little kid. And
yeah, wow. Just kind of random. Yeah, grabbed him out randomly.
Man. I've been there, Paul. Turn around and they're four. Turn around and they're 29.
We took him out for dinner last night, and I went and found the waitress, and I was like, "Listen, we got to do some kind of birthday thing for my son." And she said, "What kind of cake does he like?" And I said, "I don't care about the cake. You just need to embarrass him as much as possible."
Do you have a hat? Can you sing strange songs?
Could you, as many employees as you could bring?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They that was awesome.
Did they turn bright red?
Yeah, it was great.
That's nice.
I can't wait till he goes to a prom. I'm going to start whipping out his little kid pictures.
Henry always said, "Keep humiliating me, Dad. Just remember, I'm choosing your nursing home."
That's okay. Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
So, just saying.
Sure.
Henry knew, even at that age, who was in charge.
Yeah.
So you're not willing to say anything about battery life. I mean, that's really what people want to know.
Oh, we just got it. I mean, we need to use it.
When did you get it? I mean, yesterday or
Monday?
Monday.
Yep.
Well, it's been 3 days.
Well, the first day that I got it, I plugged it in to see how it worked.
Yeah.
And I let it go and I used it.
Yeah.
I had it on all night. And I specifically, even the times I wasn't really using it, if we were watching TV or something, I would kind of tap and occasionally keep this.
Just to keep it alive.
Keep the screen on and just kind of see how it went. And I don't remember exactly, but it was something like 46% battery life was still left at the end of the day, which I thought was fantastic. I mean, the thing had arrived at 8:55 a.m., you know, and I didn't sit here on it all day long. I mean, I wrote on my normal computer and all that, but I consider that a good sign, you know, for real-world battery life.
Did you get the type cover and everything with it that they sent all the... Yeah. What do you think?
We got the type cover. We got the pen. We got...
Oh, they sent a pen, too. All right.
Docking station.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, and I think this is the... So, you know... This is really where it differentiates from the iPad, right? The iPad obviously has an amazing ecosystem of games and apps and all that stuff. But what the Microsoft tablet has, Surface 3, is the ability to get a pen with real pressure sensitivity, write, draw, paint, whatever. It has a keyboard that's integral to the design. You can choose your own color. It's a Windows PC. And you can run desktop applications. Kind of amazing. You could even plug it into a dock and use it with an external display, mouse, keyboard, et cetera, and use it like a desktop computer. I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, neither one of us would ever use that as our PC like that and record podcasts and things like this. It wouldn't make sense. It's a low-end processor. But for people with normal needs, it is kind of amazing that range of functionality that's possible, you know, if you want to do it with that device. I think there's kind of a nice niche for it, I think.
Yeah, the niche is supposedly college students. That's a really big play they're making with the device.
Yep.
Mobile professionals who need to have processing power but maybe don't need like the full power of a true desktop all the time.
Right.
So yeah, they're targeting it very specifically at those groups. I think they wanted to get it out now for back to school because they actually are in time for back to school.
Never get it back to school.
So, I know. For them. Yep. Yep. You know, and graduation gifts and Father's Day, Mother's Day, all those things. So they're going to be out in the market in time for that, which is, you know, it sounds kind of trivial, but it's actually a big deal.
It's important. My big question about this thing with that, with regards to that market is, you know, you look out at a college career or whatever, 4 years, hopefully, you know, will this device be good enough to last for college, you know? And I don't know. I mean, I'm honestly not sure. I mean, on the other hand, it's only about $800 or less, you know, all fully loaded with all the stuff we just described. Whereas, you know, you might spend more than $1,000 on a, you know, a MacBook Air or some full blown Windows laptop that would take you the entire 4 years. And so maybe it doesn't matter, but I do wonder about that. You know, when you go toward the lower end processor, non-expandable RAM, that kind of thing, you know, what's the long-term play here? Does it last? And I'm not really sure there.
It's, you know, it's given that they don't do RT, they need it. And frankly, the price point on the Surface Pro 3 is high. They needed something in that price range.
It's a premium device. And actually, that, by the way, that's the other cool thing about this. So you get a lot of that premium build quality out of this device. You know, the body's the same material. It's nice. It's high quality. You know, the type card is nice. It's the same high quality. It's got the same ports, basically. It has video out and... expandability, micro SD, et cetera. Kickstand is, it's three positions, but it's, you know, three positions is probably actually what most people need. It's fine.
The charger is so much better, though. The new charger that comes with this.
Well, it's a USB now, right? USB, micro USB instead of the Pogo plug thing.
But it sticks.
Why is that better?
The one that they ship with the unit, it just is so much more sturdy. You know when it's connected. It's smaller, less bulky, and it's you know, with the older ones, it sometimes would not really connect, and you thought you were charging and you weren't.
That was the worst. You could literally it would attach to the outside of the device with the magnet, but it wasn't making the power connection.
Right.
So you go to bed thinking you're all set for the next flight or whatever. It was really, really lousy.
Yeah.
But this one, when it's connected, I mean, I feel like if I tripped over the cord, I'd probably fall down and like the device would come crashing.
Yeah, it is surprisingly solid. Yeah, that's true. The other thing is, by the way, it works with every cable you already own, you know, unless you're an Apple guy. Everyone has hundreds of these tables now.
Yeah, you know, everybody.
Kindles come with them. All Android devices come with them. All phones.
I have to say, and we talked about this last week, I do think the Type-C connector is better because it's reversible and it doesn't, it doesn't feel like it's going to, I always feel like on my devices that after 100 plug-ins, I'm going to, you know, some of them wrong, I'm going to ruin the connector on the device. Nevertheless, I really like that idea. I mean, having because you can go to a friend's house and they'll have a micro USB cable. You know? I mean, it's like a hotel anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to go on a business trip and you know, show up and build,
it's not a big deal.
And oh, I forgot my charger.
No problem.
Guess what? I'm surrounded by people who have these chargers. You know, it's it is kind of neat like that.
I think Type C is probably going to be universal in 3 years, and that's going to be one that's going and that can go up to 100 watts, so that could power anything. And that's going to be really awesome. Awesome sauce.
Yep, I agree.
Next one will have that.
I want this, and by the way, not just on thin light devices. I mean, I want the next big 50-inch laptop to have that. I want this to be the connector. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's resistance from OEMs because they make money on these proprietary connectors, but it's such a nightmare. And anybody who's carried Windows laptops for any length of time probably has that.
Oh, God.
You know, that. Remember you would buy, like, from Belkin or somebody, you know, the Power to Go thing, and it would have 800 little dongles you'd put on it.
Right, one for each. Yeah.
For each type of device.
Yep.
I have a bunch of those.
By the way, even within the Apple world, I mean, if you go back to, just go back to the time when MacBook debuted.
We have to get adapters.
There have been three or four different connector types, probably.
That's terrible.
I'm not really sure, but, you know, these are... Yeah, a standard on this is such a great idea.
And you, micro USB doesn't, it cannot do too much. I think 10 or 11 watts is the max on that.
I think they said this one's 13.
That's a, boy, you're pushing the edge there.
Could be wrong.
No, it could be.
I mean, close in the dark.
Yeah. No, well, you know, really, actually, no, seemed, I may be wrong because when I look at the fast chargers that some Android phones use, those go like 20 watts or more.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Those are... I can't remember what it was, but it was a lot. It was like 9 volts by 2 amps or something.
You could start a car with it, you know, kind of tap the two ends together and it sparks.
So good. So this sounds like it's going to be a product to look at. There is no, there are no Windows 8 keys on the type keyboard.
Sorry, what? There are no
Says Windows 8 keys.
Windows 8 keys.
Windows 8 keys.
Yeah, you know the specific one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Boy, you forgot Windows 8 really quickly, Paul.
You say Windows 8 key, and I think product key, and I'm like, what are you talking about? So the Surface Pro 3 version of the type cover has Windows 8 specific keys on the top row for the charms, right?
Yeah.
This one does not. And it's kind of interesting because they bring back a couple of keys that are kind of standard in the Windows world, print, screen, and insert. And then they bring back two keys, or they add two keys related to brightness, screen brightness. So that top row of keys is still very useful, but now it's not kind of the goofy, silly stuff we had before. Speaking of which, by the way, pet peeve of mine on most laptops, the top row of keys is often switched between the old-fashioned function keys, F1, F2, et cetera, and these new media keys, Windows keys, et cetera, like that kind of thing. But if you want to do something like Alt F4 on most keyboards, like on a mobile device, you do that keyboard combination, and what you'll see is whatever the special key is. It won't actually close the window. It will do whatever the special key is. So on a Surface 3, for example, F4 is screen brightness. So instead of closing the window, you'll raise the brightness of the screen, which is dumb. And what I don't understand is why laptop makers don't, when you hit the Alt, make those keys work as function keys, because that's what you're doing. And Surface is only one of many that doesn't get that right. I kind of wish everyone would do that.
Anything else to say? I mean, Gabe Ball is going to join us in a moment.
Yeah, Gabe's standing by.
I don't want to keep him waiting.
Okay, let's get him in.
Let's wrap up. I mean, is there anything else you want to
say? Okay. If you want to. I think, well, we got to talk. let's just come back. I want to talk about these last couple of things.
Let's do it after.
It's a little length. I think that they're worth covering. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay. As Mary Jo turns pink and Paul turns blue,
we will. Why are we turning colors?
I got to wear my blue blockers.
We will welcome. Now, I don't know how I'm going to get Gabe into the mix here. I think, well, look, it's magic.
Yeah. It's just like snapping windows in Windows.
I feel like I should like put my arms around both of you.
We just spread Paul and Mary Jo apart, and there in the middle is Gabe. Gabe, it's a thrill to talk to you. I know I'm sure Paul and Mary Jo have met you many times, but it's a first for me. And we've been using your Twitter feed as the canonical source of information out of Microsoft. So thank you.
Well, thanks, Gabe, for having me.
Could you answer the burning question of the day? Which is
the
what
burning question of the day? Does Greg Chimingo look like Princess Leia? Yes, he does.
No, I don't care what shoes he's wearing. Well, are you wearing red shoes right now?
Right.
Am I wearing red shoes?
Yeah.
No, gray shoes.
Damn it.
Gabe, I'm seeing on the lower third is the in charge of the Windows 10 Insiders program, which is awesome. That's the program that we are getting our Windows 10 technical preview on our phones and our computers from, so... That's remarkable that program.
We're really excited about it. It's been fantastic for us. It's just been a huge pleasure for us to be able to engage with all the customers who are really excited about using Windows 10 and getting the feedback back that helps us shape the product. It's really been tremendous.
Do you know how many people are actually using the technical previews right now?
Well, there's over 3 million Windows Insiders that are registered. We have easily 500,000 systems that we see on a daily basis. People are really using these as their day to day machines. I tweeted a month or so ago a chart about the usage of Windows 10. By Windows Insiders, and that trend continues. We see people that are actually using it more heavily than even people using Windows 7, Windows 8. So this is really a super engaged community, and the help that they've provided in terms of sending us problem reports, sending us suggestions, sending us crash reports when something goes wrong on the system. It's really helping us make just a much better product, and we're just couldn't be more pleased with how the program is going.
It's a phenomenal number, I have to say. It's amazing.
All right, it's time to start grilling this guy.
A couple more questions. You have telemetry in the technical preview, so people, even if they're not feeding you feedback reports, you're getting information about how people use it and so forth.
Yeah, we get data on problems that are encountered. We have a whole set of quality telemetry that spans, the big obvious things like crashes and hangs, blue screens. But it also includes things like compatibility errors. It includes responsiveness problems. We have telemetry that tracks app launches, experiences in the shell to see how long things are taking. And then we can pivot that across device classes and understand, how something works on a high-end system or on an entry-level system. And then we, on our side, we can tune for that. We can change memory management, prefetching logic to optimize for sort of the most common cases. We actually optimize the product using basic block optimization for just how like parts of binaries get loaded, what load order happens. And so all of that responsiveness telemetry, for example, helps us do that. And
great.
Being able to get that from people that are really using it as their day-to-day product will just, again, help us deliver a better final result.
But I have to say to the guy in the chat room who said, can I give you feedback without actually installing it? That's probably less valuable.
That's the type of feedback he's looking for.
We have a user voice. We have, the ability to give us suggestions on things that you'd like to see in the product in the future. The most actionable things for us, though, are things that are people like really using every day. And, I was listening, Paul talk about things like the annoyances of function keys and things like that. Those things where there's friction in your day-to-day experience, or there's things that you want us to do that will help the day-to-day usage of the product and really optimize your experience. Those are the and that comes from really using the product. One of the things that one of my teams is focused entirely on performance. And one of the things that I always talk about with that team is that, we with 1.5 billion customers, if we can save 1 second of time on an operation, the amount of time, put back into the world, the productivity put back into the world is profound. It's like 32 years of productivity on that single second of improvement. And so we look for, every single opportunity that we can get to shave time to optimize in that way. And, you know, we'll sit in conference rooms and argue about, you know, 150 milliseconds on some operation. How can we get that 150 milliseconds back? So, you know, there's some people that are hyper focused on this stuff here, and it's great to work with them.
Yeah, it's more than a tenth of a second. You know, I mean, that counts, man. That's
you know, it does add it up across, number of systems, number of operations that you do per day. Those little things, they matter.
Okay, now I'll let you guys talk.
All right. Okay. let's just get the elephant in the room out of the way.
Are you calling me fat?
Everybody wants to know.
No, I'm the elephant. I'm leaving now. Goodbye.
Not going to ask you about Hadoop. But where is the next Windows 10 mobile preview? Soon? Maybe today? Any hints for us about this thing?
Sure. How about this as a hint? Yes, I'll give you a straight answer. I will actually do something that I've said that I wouldn't do, which is give you a date for when the next build is happening. And then I'll tell you a story about why we're doing it this way. We will have a new build. It will be available 10 a.m. on Friday.
Wow.
And the reason that I can give you that, you know, concrete prediction is that because this new build actually has a significant number of new phones that we're unlocking for the first time, we actually have to do a ton of staging work to get the build staged and ready. The set of phones that we are making this work on for this build, it actually translates to about 5,100 images. That have to be staged for every mobile operator for language. And so that takes time, even at a minute per build for staging. We have to start that long in advance. So we pushed the button basically yesterday, and it was late last night. And the staging began. And so Friday at 10 a.m., staging will be complete. And all those phones that were listed will be available, with one exception. The icon is not going to make it for this build, for the same reason that the...
Oh, Mary Jo.
Mary Jo just walks away.
Okay.
The 9:30 also. The core issue there is that
what?
No, the issue is that the 9:30 and the icon they actually require us to add a new scale factor for those screen sizes, and you know we looked at a couple different ways that we could sort of work around it, but it wound up in cases where the UI would be just too small to use on that phone. So we do have workbook to add that scale factor for those devices, but for this next build, they won't be supported. The rest of the phones on the list will be.
So, I mean, do you think?
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No,
I was going to say, you know, Windows 10 Mobile for phones in particular, but I guess also for tablets, you know, hasn't been updated yet, and so I guess there's a, you know, there's less known about it. We're not really clear on where it is. I mean, do you anticipate this thing happening at the same time as Windows 10 for desktops, or? Is it, I don't mean to put it this way exactly, but I mean, is it behind Windows 10 for PCs, or are they in different places in the development cycle?
Well, both of them are still, you know, very much in the sort of the meat of the development cycle. We feel very good about how the builds are progressing and how the product is coming together. You'll see a bunch of new stuff with this build. There's a ton of new things in there, and so you'll like that will be very evident right away from using it. We'll have a blog that we'll post that has, you know, sort of a rundown of the new features, things that we've changed based on feedback, as well as known issues. So just like we've done with other builds, but you know, the product we feel is coming together really well. I mean, we're using it every day. I've got on my desk here, I've got a handful of devices that I've been testing with and using as my go-to phones every single day. So we're very confident with our ability to bring the product together and converge and you know and deliver the product this year.
What about, you know, with Windows 10 Mobile, we know it's not just going to run on phones. It's also going to run on small tablets that are ARM and Intel-based, we have heard. When are people going to start getting to try that?
Actually, I think that's going to come down to availability of the devices. The devices that we'll support are under 7-inch devices. And right now we don't have any devices that that we've got lit up for people to try quite yet. As new hardware comes online and we have some target devices that we can support, then we'll announce information about that for insiders to try.
Hmm. I mean, so is it fair to say that's new hardware only then, essentially? In other words, there are 7-inch Windows tablets out in the world, but they're going to get the PC version or the desktop version.
Yeah, well, everything, any device that we support, we have to sort of specifically target. We don't have devices right now that we have specifically targeted for preview builds. So that's basically the best information I can give you at this point.
Yep.
Okay. I'm curious what right now you guys consider to be the biggest unresolved bug or issue that's still in the Windows 10 desktop preview. Like, is there one thing you think like, This is the one big thing we're really trying to get through, or something that you would say is kind of like the toughest issue. I don't know if you can even qualify something like that.
Yeah, there's really nothing that I can sort of qualify as the toughest or the biggest. Really a product this large and complex, it's really about bringing all of the elements together, and mostly that's an exercise in refinement and chasing down specific issues. You know, I know that, you know, based on my Twitter feed that many people would say this is the top issue because it's the one that's affecting them the most deeply, and that's you know, that's valid. We see that as well. We think that the individual issues that are impacting people in a severe way, those are the most important issues for us, and it just happens that there's not one. There's many, and we you know, our job every day is to chase those down and solve those problems.
So in keeping with the tag team nature of what's happening here, we'll ask you a question. sorry. I have to ask you this just because it comes up every day for me on Twitter, and I assume maybe it does for you as well. And it's just about Media Center. And if you know what the plan is for Windows 10 and Media Center, will it be included? Will it be something you can install later? I mean, do you know anything about that?
I don't have any information on that to share today. Sorry.
That's okay. I have to ask. Sorry.
And I have to ask you about something that I heard about this week, thanks to Brad Sams over at NeoWin, codename Redstone. Like, what is this thing? Come on. Is this Windows 11? What is this?
Oh, my God.
We're kind of
kidding.
Over Windows 10 games.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you're done?
Are yeah. You, can we really? Move to 11? Okay. It goes to 11.
It's kind of boring. That's all.
That would save me so much work, Paul. Seriously. I could actually get a vacation. That would be awesome.
Yep.
We're not quite done. We still think we have some work to do, and so we're focused on that. We don't have any information to share about what's after that at this point.
So what's after that?
We have to ask.
I know. Yeah.
And then I guess the other one, you know, just because it's it was mentioned in January at the Windows 10 event that you had, but it's not really clear. I mean, could you say anything about what Windows RT users can expect? Is that something you guys are working on as part of Windows 10 or how? You know, what is that going to look like?
We have announced that there will be an update for Windows RT. We haven't announced the details about what that looks like quite yet. We'll share more information about that as we have more details to share.
Okay.
I have a lot of people asking me about the UI of the operating system. And I know in the old days, the way Microsoft would do it is the UI is kind of the last thing to come together. But should we expect a lot more changes on the UI side of the house before this thing is ready this summer?
Yeah. When you talk about the UI, that's a very large canvas that we talk about. It's everything from how interactions work and how, you know, key operations work, things like the virtual desktop, a whole new way of, you know, sort of working with Windows. And so like that's part of UI, but also like iconography and color schemes and, you know, the particular fonts that are used. That's also part of UI. And so I can't say, hey, the UI is done or not done at any given point in time, because we do throughout the release, work on every aspect of it. It is true that the big pieces, the big interaction pieces, are things that we will want to have done early, we've shared a ton of this stuff with people early on, and gotten a ton of feedback on it and made refinements. That we do also expect that sort of final polish, the smaller interactions, the icons, the colors, the things like that, those will keep evolving, you know, as we go, because they're there are things that can change without changing the sort of substantial nature of the operating system. So I would say that, you know, you'll continue to see new stuff from us throughout the Insider program, all the way up until RTM. And there will be some new features as well as changes in, you know, the look and feel of the system.
Well, yeah, I think we might have missed one that I had intended to ask about. I guess, I don't know if you call it tablet mode or continuum or whatever, but when you think about sort of the edge swipes on a tablet or a touchscreen device and how they changed from Windows 8 to Windows 10, one of the things that surprised me was the feedback I was getting when I would write about Windows 10 and, you know, Microsoft got everything right and this looks great. And they said, well, obviously you're not using it on a tablet. And, you know, there's this group of people that really likes how Windows 8 worked, you know, where you'd swipe in from the side, you get charms or whatever. And now, obviously, that stuff is different. I mean, I will admit, you know, having used it, I mean, there's some functions like getting to devices to do screen sharing or getting to settings and stuff was very easy with the charm type system. I mean, is there more coming with regards to how that stuff works in Windows 10? Or how do you address that kind of complaint or feedback, I guess?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting thing because this is something that's kind of new and part of this doing this, you know, out in the open like we are. We're sharing things in a very incomplete state. The first build that had Continuum in it, it was really, you know, very, very early. And so there was a ton of stuff that we knew we were going to go do and changes we're going to make that hadn't quite made it in yet. And so the feedback we heard was it was incredibly, you know, validating in some ways around the direction that we're going. It was valuable for us in the sense that we got a sense from people how important the tablet mode transitions are for them and how windowing in a convertible situation or a 2-in-1 situation should change. And we've made some tweaks based on that. We've got other stuff that will continue to come. But the thing that I think we all have to sort of learn together is, you know, as we go through these things, you know, on the timing, we don't want to be in a world where we don't show it until we think we're all done and everybody will be happy with it, because then we lose the opportunity to get some of that early feedback that actually we could use to help shape the final product. And the thing that we just ask in return is that, like, you know, to take what you're seeing as an early, you know, release, and in the spirit of that, give us the feedback about the broad strokes and the things that don't quite work and that we want to see changed. And then we will take that feedback to heart and use that in the development of the final result. You certainly haven't seen the final result yet. We are very committed to making sure that Windows 10 is great on all kinds of devices. You know, from those small, from phones to 7-inch, tablets, all the way up to great big screens like the one I have behind me here, which is running Windows 10 as well.
Ooh, is that a Perceptive Pixel?
That's the first generation Perceptive Pixel. Yeah, I've got my physical whiteboard and my virtual whiteboard.
Do you use it as a whiteboard? That's cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's fantastic for that. Yeah, I love that I can write on it in OneNote. And then, you know, I'll draw a diagram or something in OneNote and then I'll sit down at my PC and it'll be there and I'll copy and paste it into a mail and say, hey, this is what I was thinking about. It's a very transformative technology. Yeah. We're really excited about the next generation, the Surface Hub, and what that's going to allow businesses to do. And you know, it's a very, very exciting product. I'm a big fan.
I have an Xbox question.
No, okay. You don't. You lie. You're lying.
I have an Xbox.
Oh, come on. All these years and now you ask him an Xbox question?
I've been saving it up for today. The one Xbox question.
I love it. Go ahead.
I'll do my best. You know, I do it.
Well, we know that with the one Windows idea that Microsoft is making it so that the common core runs across all these different platforms, Xbox, Surface Hub, everything. But how do you put... Or what's the thinking about how to get Windows 10 into Xbox? Like, is it something you'll RTM Windows 10 and then kind of hand that off to the Xbox team? Or have things changed about how you guys do this now?
No. The Xbox team works with us on the core platform. They check in changes into the core platform just like any other feature team that's working in OSG. So we have the way that we structured the code, the one core code, it is common across the platforms, and all these different teams are making sure that it works for them. In terms of how that translates to an actual product release and how it gets delivered, I'll leave that to the Xbox team to talk about. But from an engineering perspective, we work very, very closely together. They're part of the same operating system family.
That's really exciting, actually. Yeah, as an Xbox One owner.
Are you getting the shepherd's crook?
I am, actually. I've got to run to.
Look.
You
can kind of tell. Like, we're just talking here. What?
Because I have to go and do the final sign off and make sure that everything is set for Friday. So
this is exciting.
Need to go and press the
okay.
Press
one
the
quick one for Mary Jo. Quick, Mary Jo. Quick.
I just wanted to say a little hint. What should we look forward to at Build? Give us a hint. We love hints and puzzles, numbers.
The puzzle totally backfired on me, Paul. I think
the puzzle was funny.
Biggest detractor with the puzzle. No hints to offer about Build. We're very excited. It's going to be a great event. I'm trying to get a ticket to see if I can actually go. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and there should be lots of exciting announcements there. But again, I'll leave that for the day to share with you.
Gabe Wall, Windows 10 Insiders Program Chief. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And come back anytime.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
I think it's really great for the audience to hear from you directly. And, of course, follow Gabe on Twitter, at GABEAUL.
Better call all.
Better call all. Thanks, Gabe.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man, is that awesome. Nice, awesome sauce there.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, and very forthcoming.
Well, oftentimes on Twitter, of course, I'm complaining or criticizing Windows or Microsoft or whatever. And I think the one thing people don't get is I'm not criticizing Gabe or Joe B or some other guy or whatever. I mean, I don't know how he does what he does, because I deal with whatever it is I deal with on Twitter every day.
Yeah,
and I come crying to Mary Jo every day. And I don't know. I can only imagine for him it must be a million times worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, seriously, sometimes I feel like giving Mary Jo my Twitter credentials and saying, listen, you need to turn this off when I get stupid. just
I do tell you step away.
Get me off Twitter. Yeah.
Usually once a day or more.
Once a day, yeah. Yep.
Let's take a little break, and then we can continue on if you want to continue with your Surface 3 review. And there's lots more to talk about, of course.
A couple more things on Surface.
Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and now you know why this is the number one show in the world about Windows. Our show today brought to you by our buddies at Lynda, LYNDA.com. Lynda.com is the place to go if you want to polish up your skills in a variety of topics. I mean, it could be Office. They've got great classes in Office. It could be as deep as things like C++, Essential Training, C#, Up and Running with Azure, Visual Basic Essential Training. They have an amazing course that I think is so cool. If you're interested in Windows Phone 8, and man, I think that is what they call a green field for somebody who wants to get into app development. You could write a great app there, and there's some real opportunity. Building a note-taking app for Windows Phone 8 and Windows Store. This is all at lynda.com, and the neat thing is you don't have to decide what course you're going to take. You get them all with your monthly subscription to lynda.com. That means the run of the place, all 3,000 on-demand video courses. Strengthen your business skills, take better photos, build a better website, master Photoshop, sharpen your negotiation skills. What's great about this is you can use it to get a better job or to improve your skills at work, and then go home and use it to improve your hobby. I love it. And the thing is, the best teachers, in fact, many of the teachers are people we've had on Twitter, we know well, people like Burt Monroy, Ben Long. You learn at your own pace. The courses are structured. Lynda shoots them so well that, it's like watching, it's a professional production. These ain't YouTube videos. Browse each course transcript if you want to follow along, or search for a specific idea and skip right to that point. You can even download the tutorials and watch them on the go, including access to your iOS or Android device. And many companies work directly with Lynda.com so that when new software comes out, Lynda's ready. And many companies also use Lynda.com, including Microsoft, Adobe, Full Sail University, NBC, Patagonia, and yes, Twit, to keep their employees on top. Lynda.com, you'll get access to training on hundreds of topics for one low flat rate, and we've got a special deal for you. 10 days free, the run of the place. All the courses, everything new that comes out, lynda.com/windows. Look at this stuff. Marketing tips. Before and after, cropping photos. I mean, that's how granular they can get. Video post tips weekly. That's something our editors probably love. If you're in business, communication tips, Marcom tips. Excel 2013 essential training. I just love this stuff. Lynda, try it today, free for 10 days. lynda.com/windows. And we thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly on the air. If you just tuned in, rewind.
Yep.
Great interview, great subject matter. But
The rest of the show is going to stink.
No, not at all. And to be honest, I mean, Gabe is, as a company spokesman, not going to really. But he, I think, did we know that Friday was the next version of the technical
we
preview?
We did not know.
No, I mean, we did. Right.
So you got a little scoop there.
Yep.
I hope we can get him back. We weren't too mean, right?
We were nice.
No.
Yeah, we were nice.
We didn't make him show us his shoes or anything. No. So it was okay.
I just swore he had red shoes.
I think you're remembering Red Dog. I really do. Remember when the whole team wore red shoes? I bet you're remembering that.
I'm thinking more recently than that, but I don't know. Yeah.
Wait a minute. If Paul's going to do that, I have to do that.
I just see red.
Mary Jo, where's yours?
I know. Why don't I have one?
You know what? You didn't send?
You should get maybe you'll get you a Bear Stein when we go to.
That would be better.
I want to see Mary Jo slugging the brew during the show.
And the big Thurrott Stein.
They told me this was sessionable.
Wait, you're a lefty, though. Are you a lefty?
I'm a lefty.
Mary Jo?
I am not a lefty, no.
You know,
but that's perfect. I got two righties and a lefty. That way it'll go. Anyway, that only is meaningful to somebody watching video. The rest of you are going, actually, I got some good news, and it'll be good on this show. We've been investigating the idea of releasing the audio podcast in stereo.
Oh, yeah, right.
What is it in now?
It's something called mono.
Oh,
and, I see. We're 10 years old now. I mean, we've been doing this show for 8 years. And
why don't you jump, like, go right through to what's the next step up from that? Like some kind of
Dolby surround Atmos where Paul can,
like, in the beginning, like a fly could fly around in a circle and it's like he's going around your head.
We actually have done, there's a Dolby headphone spec, and many years ago we did a show exactly like that where there was this, the soundstage was like a sphere around you. But we won't find that
disconcerting, because you'd be walking down the street and you'd be kind of, you know, dodging as, because you think like voices would come in. You know what I mean? You
don't want to kill anybody. For a show like this to have me maybe in the middle and Mary Jo on the left and you on the right, slightly, not extreme. We tried this once. Not extreme, but just a little bit.
All right, okay. I remember.
And if you're in the car listening, I just think it gives it a richness. And so we're investigating it. And the reason we did it at first in mono is to keep the
file
size down.
I'd like to come
to
the subwoofer if I could.
Yeah. We'll still make it small. We're not gonna, joint stereo will not, I don't think, increase the file size too much. But I feel like people have more bandwidth, more.
Honestly, file sizes on these things I don't think would matter.
Well, that's kind of my point for audio. It doesn't. And the video's always been in stereo because it's video and you're already downloading an 800K file or whatever it is.
I mean, I don't really listen to our podcast. I don't really find it very entertaining or useful, but I.
Well, there you go. Let's put that in the promo.
There's an endorsement.
Windows Weekly. I don't find it very entertaining or useful.
No, who said that? One of the co-hosts. It sounds like quite a show. No, I mean, why would I listen to the show?
No, I don't. Because you were there. You don't have to listen. You were there. So I think we're going to do, I think we'll do that soon. I'll let you know for all of our shows. We're just thinking.
Yeah, that's cool.
Times have changed, and people, you know. And
I think you got to do that.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to, but I do feel like It's now
you will
okay.
get, you know, there are going to be people who love it and people who don't.
There are people I know in bandwidth constrained environments.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But much like this, I'm in a blazer constrained environment.
A blazer constrained environment. Yeah, I have a few of those myself.
All the buttons are gone because they all popped off.
Last time I wore it was like to a like a wake in 1995. I'm confused. Why it doesn't fit.
I'm sorry. Let's move on. Or actually, let's not move on. Did you want to say some more about
it? Yeah, I just I would touch on a couple of these things. Maybe Mary Jo should tell the loop story because I was emotionally and
what happened? What?
Overly involved in this bizarre drama.
You were. You got a little over the top on this one.
Paul,
so you know,
Paul, really?
You know what the you know what the I think it's only with the Surface Pro 3. There's this pen loop that they attach to the device so that if you have the Surface Pen, you can save it in the loop and you'll be less likely to lose it.
Yeah, let me show you. Let me show
us a pen loop.
It attaches to the keyboard normally. It comes with the keyboard.
Actually, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You know, a little...
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? When you said loop, I don't know why I thought it was like a little noose hanging off of the thing. But that actually looks like pretty good. That looks pretty good. That would work
it's
for
fine.
Me.
It does the job.
Well, on the Surface 3s that we got, there's no pen loop.
Oh, my God.
And so some people, we won't name names, Rafael Rivera, on Twitter started freaking out about the lack of a pen loop. And so Paul had to do some investigative research to find out why there was no pen loop and what the solution would be. And he discovered that the pen loop will be included with the pen. So if you pay the $50 to buy the pen, you'll get a pen loop, but it won't be with the keyboard.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to say real quick. Story's over, right? The answer.
The
so we're done here. We are clearly done here. That this has been explained. There's nothing more to say about this topic. Is that correct?
Yes.
No, the answer is
except
no. There's a lot more to say.
This went on for hours. This went on like all day on Twitter on Monday because people kept chiming in, what color pen loop will be included with the pen? Will the pen loop color coordinate with the pen cover? The pen color, will it coordinate with the keyboard? Or will you just get a random pen loop? And how are you sure you're even going to get a pen loop? You're not really sure,
by the way,
right?
Like, maybe you're going to get one. Microsoft Store Online says nothing about a pen loop being in the box. Mr. Thorat, I think you're making up this fact. What about existing pens that are already in the store? They're already selling the gray one that goes with Surface Pro 3. Are they magically going to end up add a pen loop to that box? How does that work? You know? So I had to go back to Microsoft.
Multiple times.
And say, look, I know this is going to sound really
petty,
dumb, but
small,
you know, then I started getting emails from guys from Microsoft all day yesterday. They're like, hey, Paul, I hear you're the guy to go to with Surface Pen loop problems. I have a question. You know, like just it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it just got a little out of hand. So if you're one of those people who cares about the pen loop, we have got you covered. And Paul has also volunteered to write a field guide about the pen loop.
No,
so
Microsoft Surface Pen Loop.
Chapter 3, field guide. How to attach it properly. Yep. Leo, I'm not kidding. I spent all day on this yesterday. This was my entire day.
But I'm laughing because it's funny, but I'm also... want to defend you because this is consumer stuff. This is what people want to know.
It's a $4 pen loop.
Oh, by the way, here's the thing. Here's the joke. You can buy this in any color you want right now for less than $5.
How does it attach though?
If you really want to make sure you don't miss out on this thing.
I need a loop. Well, I'll lose it otherwise.
Buy one now. Just buy one now.
But Microsoft sells it. And how does it attach? Does it have stick-em on it? What kind of stick-em?
You're one of these people,
aren't you?
The new pen loop going to have a different adhesive?
Yeah,
how do I know it's going to stick as well? Will the new pen loop work with the Surface
Pro 3? What if I want to remove it? Will it leave a residual adhesive behind? But on the other hand,
I'm not removing mine.
I want it better than a Post-it note. I don't want it falling off in the worst time possible. I stick my Surface in a briefcase. Will the pen loop survive?
Great.
Oh, so you were privy to this conversation. So you understand like how increasingly insane this makes me over the course of
Alex has invented the new pen loop. You just clip it right on the thing.
Yeah, the clip thing is a good suggestion.
And actually, the Surface Pen comes with a clip.
Yeah, right on there.
It does.
Look at that.
Actually, if you would move that clip and put it on your jacket pocket, your shirt pocket, you'll notice it also works there.
It's a dual purpose clip.
Yeah.
Yep. It's amazing. What will they think of next?
Who knows?
You, Alex. You see, engineering mind.
Yep.
Can I just say, I'm tapping my forehead, but there's a small difference between doing the forehead tap and the woo-woo.
Yes. Yep. One, right. One is the one you direct yourself, and the other is the one you directed other people.
I spent my whole day on IM yesterday going to Paul, step away from the keyboard. Oh, go take a walk.
This is what you're talking about, is it?
At least five different times thought I had answered every possible question there was about the loop. And then someone would raise another question. Yeah. I'd be like,
well,
you've got
to. People care. Obviously, people care.
Yep.
Yep.
I think that's a reasonable thing because, I mean, honestly, the real issue for me with a stylus is losing it.
Yes.
And I want it to be. And I liked on the original tablets. I guess the Surface never had it.
They would pop them in. By the way, there are actually problems with those designs on more than, because I had every tablet PC ever made, basically.
Yeah.
On more than one device, you could jam the thing in the wrong way and then not be able to get it out, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get why that's useful. I would just say that the Surface devices are too thin to support that. You can't put it inside.
Yeah, you know, it makes it, you has to be thicker. It has to be the thickness of the pen plus, you know, whatever. So, that makes perfect sense. I think, I've never seen the loop. Now that I see the loop.
I'm still haven't recovered from this. I've got nothing done today. And it's honestly, it's mostly Surface Pen loop related.
Well, but when you see how much it costs.
Yeah, it's $50 for a pen. So, you don't want to be losing.
By the way, actually, you know what? Scroll down a little bit. There are only two colors there.
Uh-oh.
When I looked at this yesterday.
Oh, God, why did I show this to Paul?
No.
When I looked, is this a different one? Because when I looked at, this is a different one, Leo, that's why.
Well, should I ask this lady?
No, don't, please, dear God, do not get with her.
She wants to chat with me.
She looks nice. Oh, it's not, Leo, this is just.
Samuel, that's not Samuel.
I was going to say, it's not her, Leo, get out of the chat. It's probably a man, but of course it is literally a man.
I think it's Raphael. I do.
So if you, that's a third party loop. I didn't even know this existed. That's hilarious. Now
loops?
I have to update the book. Uh-oh. So if you search Microsoft, go to the top there, Surface Pen loop. That's hilarious that there's a third
party loop.
There's
a third party loop?
There's a whole third party ecosystem of loops, no doubt.
Yes, there's a. Yes, there is.
This one looks like, I see.
There you go. I didn't even know that other one was there.
There's two.
Now you know.
So click on the first one. That's the Microsoft one.
Which, this one? Yeah.
The first
one. Does it come? Oh, now look at all the colors.
There you go.
Purple. There's red. There's red, bright red. There's.
Some of them are only available for pre-order because they're the new colors.
Baby poop brown. There's all colors. Okay.
Yep. There you go.
You know what? Let's get five right now. Put one on everything.
I was going to order 20 of each of these and mail them to Raphael as a joke.
Wait a minute. The red is on back order.
Or I should say 20 altogether, I guess.
How come the bright red is on back order? That's so funny. This must be a color of the new.
Yeah, that's one of the new keyboard colors.
Yeah.
And I guess pen too, right? I think it's pen color too.
Okay, I think we've pretty much covered this.
Yep. Exhausted it. Yes, I think we have.
Topic. But we have not yet talked about everything there is to talk about here. The docking station. There's more. The docking station.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it has to be a new one because it has to have the USB connector, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So if you think about the way the old, not the old, but the current Surface Pro 3 docking station works, it connects through there's actually a docking station connector on it. That's the power port. And so it's a pass-through that is a more powerful bus than is what we have available in Surface 3. Surface 3's docking station is all over USB. So it's a lot like using a USB hub, except for video, I should say. There's a mini display port pass-through for that. So it's not as powerful, but, you know, like the device that it's using, it's not as powerful. It looks very similar. Yeah. The wings, the arms that are on the side kind of go up higher on the device. They cover up all the ports. You can't use the ports on the device plus the ports on the docking station, which is something you can do with Surface Pro 3. And as a result of the docking station, the volume buttons on the Surface 3 are in a different position. They're on the top of the device because they would be covered by the dock.
And finally, Costco.
Yeah, I wrote an article about you know, where you could pre-order Surface 3 and its peripherals. And as I kind of went through it, it was kind of interesting because not everything is available everywhere. You know, some places have something, some places have others. And I just kind of mentioned this at the beginning, but there's a Surface, there's actually two Surface 3 bundles at Costco. So if you're, you have to be a member to get this, but for $6.99, you can get the higher end version of the tablet, the black type cover, and a Surface Pen, which is a great deal. And then for $5.99, you can get the 2 gig, you know, lower end version of the Surface with the black type cover and Surface Pen. And so I believe that's basically an $80 savings over if you buy them individually. Wow. So, wow. Yeah. And plus, if you're a Costco member, you know, they'll take back anything. So no matter what, you know, I mean, this thing has some warranty, but, you know, you could go back to Costco, you know, 25 years in the future and they'll probably take it back. I mean, they have a really liberal warranty and return policy. So.
So it sounds like the best deal. You know, it's so interesting because Apple totally controls the chain. You just can't get a deal on any Apple product. Microsoft doesn't choose to do that, which is surprising.
Well, I would say, you know, it's interesting because I don't know. Maybe there are other deals on bundles like this. I didn't see any. But most of the other things that are in this article are just, you know, the individual pieces. They're basically the same price everywhere, I think.
Well, except in Europe, right? It's a, the Surface.
Well, right. I mean, in the United States, you know, they're all the same price.
Have you seen, a lot of people have been tweeting to us about how expensive the Surface 3 is in Europe. And yes, it's partially value-added tax, obviously. But when you compare the differential between Surface Pro 3 price and the Surface 3 price in the UK, there's very little difference. So I think they're going to have to make some tweaks to that somehow. If they really want this to be kind of like the entry-level device
exchange
that's more affordable.
Rates are, you know, there's VAT.
I know.
But there's also
exchange
tariffs.
Rates,
and then there's exchange rates.
I know.
And they're really volatile, and it's very difficult.
Yep.
You know, the euro is know, it's going down, so it shouldn't be expensive in Europe. I don't know what the British pound is doing, but...
Right. I wonder if that's part of it. Just the exchange rate.
Yeah. And,
oh, it is, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, if you go and buy a paperback book in Canada... Same paperback book in Canada will cost twice as much as it does in the States. And it's only because they're printing it on the back of the book and they don't know what the exchange rate's going to do. So they just kind of.
Yeah.
We, you know, we did a home swap in Europe every year. And for many of those years, the people who would come here from Europe would bring an extra suitcase because they would go shopping here.
Right.
Because everything was so cheap, you know,
they're going to start doing that again, I think.
Well, now it's the reverse, though, because now my wife made the comment to me the other day, you know, when we go to Europe this summer. Exchange, it's almost dollar, you know, 1-to-1.
And
things are going to be a lot less expensive. And I said, yeah, geez, if only we hadn't spent $1,600 on each ticket to get there, we'd be really, you know, this trip would just pay for itself. I mean, like the price of flying to Europe has gone up almost exponentially over those years. Yeah. But it's weird how the exchange rate has changed.
Yeah,
we're going to be in Europe in July.
Really? So what part?
We're starting in Amsterdam, then we're going on a river cruise down the Rhine to the Main.
Oh, I always
want to
do that.
Danube. So we're going to end up in not Istanbul.
That is awesome.
Budapest.
Budapest,
so,
yes.
Yeah, so we're going to Germany.
I'm dying. Vienna. Please post a lot of pictures of that.
Oh, I will. I'm going to really meerkat the whole trip. We're just going to.
Nice. Just put your camera or your phone on a stick.
Phone on a stick.
Mount
just
it on
turn
the boat.
It on, and that's it. And, 2 weeks later. I'll turn it off.
Nice. Then you'd speed it up and you'll have like a 30-second version.
Hey, that's actually, you know, that's kind of an interesting idea. I could do a hyperlapse of the whole trip.
Just like the river going down. It'd be kind of awesome.
It'd be kind of fun.
Just do part of it. I mean, it'd be kind of
No, I will do that. You know, it's unfortunate because now there's all these things to do with social media and your phone.
It's like you can't even enjoy it while you're there. You're like, hold on, I got to make a panorama.
Exactly.
You know,
I might just
like. By the way, the rest of the family is already gone, and they're eating dinner.
Oh, that's the real problem. They're going again with the camera phone. All right, there you go. Surface 3. Everything you ever wanted to know, and maybe even a little more about the Loop.
It's just maybe a little bit more about a really stupid part of it.
You mentioned Redstone, Mary Jo. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because he, of course, isn't going to talk about it. Right. Is it the next? Is it Windows 11?
No. So Redstone is the code. This is from all from sources. Microsoft's not commenting on this. But Neo Nguyen, Brad Sams over there, he broke a story this week saying Redstone was the code name of the next version of Windows in 2016. So that seemed really odd because Microsoft has said Windows 10 is the next version and we're just going to keep updating that. So it was curious, what is Redstone? Well, it turns out sources say that Redstone is Windows in 2016, but it's still Windows 10. Huh. Redstone is just a bigger update to Windows 10 than these incremental monthly updates that we're getting.
So what, Service Pack 1.
It's kind of like a Service Pack. Yeah. So now what we know this week from sources that we didn't know last week about the schedule is Microsoft's still on this two bigger, kind of bigger blobs of features per year, right? So there's going to be Windows 10 RTMing this summer. Then there's going to be regular monthly updates to it after it RTMs. Then this fall sometime, there's going to be a bigger update. So that's also still Windows 10 and part of the threshold wave. Next year, there's going to be, in the summer, a very much more major update to Windows 10. And we think that is what Redstone is. And then there will be a fall, also more major update. So summer, fall seems to be the schedule. But I believe Windows Redstone is going to still be Windows 10. I don't think they're going to jump to 11 or 12. I think it's just another kind of bigger set of features. And what's in that? I don't know. No information.
I wonder why Redstone. What is that? That's an interesting code name.
Well, we'll talk about that in the code name. We'll talk about that when we talk code names today, why they picked that code name. And it's very interesting.
Okay, good. You know what I like.
I can't wait for this. This is very interesting. We'll do it.
Okay.
It's a good little bit of trivia around this.
Good. Let's see. Fire TV Stick. Yeah, is this you, Paul, playing with this, Paul? Must be. Mary Jo doesn't have a TV.
No, I do not.
It wouldn't be much fun for Mary Jo to play with it.
Well, you know, I review and use a lot of different devices, like living room set-top box type devices. And obviously these streaming media sticks have been kind of a big deal over the past year or so. Both the new Roku, or I should say via a software update, the newer generation Rokus, Roku 2 and Roku 3, and more recently the Fire TV and Fire TV Stick have advertised Miracast compatibility, which lets you do screen sharing from a compatible device, which should be Windows, Windows Phone, and Android. Neither of those devices actually work properly with Windows. And sometime in the past week, Amazon delivered an update to Fire TV and Fire TV Stick that supposedly fixes this. And what I found is that it's very spotty. I got it to work on Windows Phone, but with no audio. And I was never able to get it to work on, I only tried two different laptops, but two different Windows PC devices. So I think there's some work to be done there. The basic advice here is that if you're looking for some way to, you know, cast content from your Windows device, whether it's a phone or a tablet or whatever, to your HDTV, I mean, I think the best solution right now is still that Microsoft wireless display adapter. I think it's about $69. It's the stick type one that plugs into an HDMI port. Super reliable, super fast, you know, just kind of works every time. I think it's the one Miracast device that I've ever used that actually works. So I know a lot of people have these other devices and it would be nice to have one thing that did everything, but I've never found one, you know, Roku, Fire Stick, whatever, that works.
Actually,
well,
glad to hear this because, well, not glad to hear it, but good to hear this information because people often ask me how to do this.
Well, you know, honestly, Roku updated their devices, and I just mentioned that real quickly here. I mean, one of the big innovations in Fire TV, Fire TV Stick, is that it has voice control. Actually, it's just Fire TV comes with it built in. But you get a remote that has a microphone in it. You can do voice control. So it works like the Kinect does with Xbox One, but for $100 rather than for, you know, $500. Mm-hmm. Roku updated its devices, and if you buy a new Roku 3, you get a remote that has a microphone. You can do the same thing, and that's kind of a neat deal. Roku devices are great, and I would say you're probably the best device overall for a living room, unless obviously you're in an Apple ecosystem. But that screen sharing thing just doesn't work. And for when, you know, if you have a Windows device, and maybe someday it will, but today, you know, no, it's too bad.
This is
confusing.
No, not at all. I understand it completely.
Okay. Well, no, the next one is confusing.
Oh yeah, Office Lens.
Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry.
Jeez, oh, I know which one you're going to talk about.
I'm looking at an Xbox
tour. Yeah, yeah, and people and everybody's saying, hey, "Did you see?" And yes, we did. Of course, these guys see everything. They see all, and we'll talk about the OTA update in a second. But no, Office Lens once again. iOS and Android.
Windows Phone users burned?
Yeah.
They burned.
Burn.
Because they don't like to see other people getting what they have.
Oh, okay. But they already have it. It's not like at least this time Microsoft came out with something first on Windows Phone.
Okay.
That's true.
So
look
what,
on the bright side.
What is Office Lens for those who don't know?
It's kind of like a scanning program almost. You take a picture with the camera phone. And you can take a picture of whiteboards or notes or receipts or business cards, and it cleans it up. It kind of centers it. It takes the crinkles out and makes it look really nice. And it saves it either to your OneDrive, or you can actually save it to your OneDrive and then convert it into a Word document, I believe, as well, or OneNote also. And so this is something we've had for a while on Windows Phone. I don't know how long, like, number of months at least, right?
Yeah, almost a year, I bet.
Yeah, I use it a lot. I've mentioned it before because beer menus takes really
it shows
good
pictures. Up as a add-on for the camera, though, right? It's a lens for the camera on Nokia, anyway.
I don't think it is a lens. Yeah, oh, okay. I don't believe it's a camera lens.
I think it's just an app.
Okay.
You could just take pictures of these.
Yeah,
handy for whiteboards if you're in school or you're sneaking around the campus office and trying to take pictures of things like Gabe All diagrams from his whiteboard.
Right. Oh, the irony! Using Office Lens against them.
Nice. Yeah, so now Microsoft is bringing this application to iPhone and Android phones.
So why does it say leaving Windows Phone users burned here?
Well,
because we are a prickly bunch of people who don't like to see other people get what we have.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, this is one of Microsoft's crown jewels. And one of the things you get as a benefit for being a Windows Phone user. And now it's going to these other platforms too.
Deal.
And yeah, so people say, so why should I use Windows Phone again? Well, like, what do I get that they don't get?
You
nothing.
Shouldn't.
Well, you get the calming effect on your soul.
You get Cortana.
Sure.
Yeah, but Cortana is going to come to these other platforms too.
Oh, that's true. But it won't be a peer.
It won't be as deeply integrated.
No, it's the same thing with the like Siri and Google Voice on the iPhone. Siri is operating system wide. Yeah. Google Voice is just in the app. It'll be the same thing, I'm sure.
Cortana Siri is like a tick.
Yeah, it's in everything you
borrowing into the fur of iOS.
Wow. Yeah, so if you are an iPhone user, you can go get this app now. It's there in the store. It's free. And if you're an Android phone user, you can get the preview of the app from the Play Store, also free. So yeah. I know a lot of people who've heard us talk about it on Windows Weekly who don't use Windows phones and Windows, they say, "Oh, that sounds cool." It is cool, and you should go try it out. It's free. Why not?
Yeah, I love this thing. I use this fairly regularly.
It is cool, and you should do it.
Do it.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? No, I think this is fine. Satya Nadella said it. The best experience will always be on Windows, but we want to be wherever our customers are.
You know, we didn't put the F Windows story into our show notes. Right? I assume you guys covered this.
Yeah, we did. Go ahead, tell us about it.
Because this falls into that category.
This is, so Microsoft's 40th anniversary was Friday of the April 5th, 40 years ago, 1975. Paul Allen and Bill Gates created Microsoft in Albuquerque. And the story in The Economist about this, which I thought was great.
It was good.
Began with the F word, like in the first sentence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently, somebody went to Bill and suggested something, and Bill Gates said, "What do you want to do? F Windows?"
Right.
It's the F Windows.
And now it's their strategy.
They call it the Windows tax. What do they call it? The Windows tax? Strategy tax is the word they use. Strategy the phrase tax, they use. Yep.
And we call it mobile first, cloud first is what we call it.
But for years that we knew that, and that was one of the reasons that so many great ideas from Microsoft got killed before they were born, because they would impact the core businesses.
Look, you don't have to be a Microsoft historian to know some of the basic facts about Microsoft, that this company was started to provide a version of the basic programming language for the Altair, that they then ported BASIC to other microcomputer systems like Commodore, Atari, Apple, and the Amiga, that they went on to productivity software, that they got into operating systems only because digital research screwed up, and they really didn't want to be part of the IBM PC OS, you know.
Right. It's actually great article. It's really fun to read.
But the point is, in some ways, what they're doing now is a lot like what they used to do, that Windows, by being so phenomenally successful and sidelining the entire PC industry for 20 years, kind of maybe in the long run will be seen as an anomaly for Microsoft, that we had this kind of like a monoculture going on with Windows that was, in fact, temporary. And that by attaching their productivity wares and their services to the whatever platforms that people use, wherever they might be, could be, in fact, a very successful venture for Microsoft. This could be as big or bigger than anything they ever did, that when it was just Windows. So we're kind of, we grew up in the Windows world. Windows is our thing, all of us. I mean, at least Mary Jo and I certainly. And we sort of see life through that, kind of Windows lens. But really, it's kind of a more broader Microsoft lens.
If Microsoft's lucky, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
That's what it needs to do. Does it execute? If they execute. But that's what you want to have happen, because the other option is much more common, which is the business model.
Well, of course.
From the 90s, which was
Original Surface device when it came out, Surface devices, had a Windows logo on them. And the second generation Surface devices had a Surface logo on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the current generation Surface device, the new one, has a Microsoft logo on it. Yep. And, that's part of it. We're moving into this. This is a new, a new thing. Maybe it's going back to an old thing, I guess. Ultimately, the lack of Windows centricity is probably a healthy and good thing for everyone.
Sure.
But when you're very used to things being a certain way,
it's difficult.
It's hard to change.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead.
Just going to say, when I wrote a little thing about the 40th anniversary too, but I just to show you how different Microsoft has become in 40 years, I talked about how last week, Mark Rusinovich, who's the chief technology officer for Azure, was at a conference in San Francisco, and he said, in response to a question, we definitely have within the realm of possibility the idea of open sourcing Windows. He actually said, we would consider open sourcing Windows. It's the antithesis of the old Microsoft, right? I don't know if they ever would or will or can even open source Windows, but just even saying that is so different from Microsoft, that The Economist is describing there. It's just totally a different company now.
Yeah. Well, to that point, on iPad Today this week, we were talking about ways of making scrapbooks. And I pointed out that Microsoft Sway works great in the browser, in Safari browser. I was so impressed by your Sways from Vietnam, Mary Jo. Actually showed some of them. I thought, even though this is a web app, in effect, I wonder if they're going to do Sway for iOS, though.
They have already. It's the first app that they built outside the browser. You can get it from the App Store now. There's Sway.
There last week. That's awesome.
Oh, really? Huh. I'm pretty sure it's in there.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt real quick. I just wanted to correct something I said earlier. Office Lens is, in fact, a lens.
Yes.
That's what I thought. I mean, I remember seeing it.
I apologize. I said it wasn't is when they updated the app, I went and looked in the lenses. I saw three icons, none of which were for lens, and I went on and said it's not a lens. But one of those icons is for lenses, and then you go in there and it's in there. So I apologize. My mistake. It is, in fact, a lens.
No, no.
It's fine. Sway. There it is. It's in the store.
Because I had searched for it. Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's way down somewhere.
It's a preview. No, it's... Is it a preview? No, I don't think it is a preview.
Look at all the Microsoft Corporation things.
I know.
There's so many apps.
Version 1.3, the Sway app for iOS.
Oh, we'll have to take back that entire
Try it out.
episode. And
actually, is it available fine for Safari, but iPad be... or is it just iPhone?
Oh, maybe it's just
iPhone. I think just for the phone.
Oh, that's why.
I think it's only.
That's why. That's why.
All yeah. Right. But they're going to be expanding the app availability to iPad and Android and Windows Phone.
Good.
It's been a while, though, hasn't it? I mean, I think the iPhone app debuted in October.
It did.
Right?
Yep.
Back.
It was last fall. Yep.
It's still the only version other than, you know, than the web version.
Yeah.
I still don't see it, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It must be.
You'll find it.
It must be something wrong with me.
I just searched Sway App Store iOS.
I usually do like app name site colon itunes.apple.com.
Well, what I did is I went in my iPad and I looked for everything Microsoft makes.
Yes, you can't do that, Leo.
my mistake.
It's like when you try to search for a Microsoft app in Windows Store and use search and it doesn't come up.
That's not, that's
always hilarious.
You'd think Apple, having done this longer than anybody, including Microsoft, would have their search working.
No, I've run into this on Apple as well.
You can now, and this is good news because Lisa and I are both going on this trip, I think. Mm. I dearly hope. And so it would be nice if we could co-author One Sway, Two People. That's the new feature. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yep.
How many co-authors? As many as you want? Or?
It's definitely more than two. I don't know if there's a limit.
So it's it can become a collaborative thing. You know, for a wedding, you just give people the Sway location and everybody uploads their pictures. I mean, what a great idea.
Also good for students doing projects, where you want to have groups.
You give access by adding, you click the person and you give them a new author. Yep. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. If people out there haven't tried Sway, I can tell you, I have found it easier to use than OneNote because everyone knows I have trouble with OneNote. And I keep kiddingly saying to people, it's so easy, even a journalist can do it. It is. Like, you just drag and drop stuff. It's, like, really, really, really easy. I know nothing about Photoshop. I never use it.
And yours looks great.
It looks good. It looks good. Not a lot of work.
That's the point of it, that you don't have to know how to design something. You know, if you go into PowerPoint, you have to know how PowerPoint works. Like, you have to be good at that.
Yep.
And Sway is designed for people who don't, you know, you have a story to tell, but you don't necessarily want to become a designer.
Yeah.
Could it be called Swing?
Nope. Sway. I found it. I'll send you the link.
So are you searching the web or the store?
I'm actually on my iPad looking for it.
Do the web.
If you
instead.
Do the store from the iPad, can you look for iPhone apps?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would just say use Bing or Google.
No, that won't help because you're on an iPad. Yeah, you have to.
Well, no, it will help because if you bring up the iTunes,
you'll find
page,
it at least.
I'll give you a link.
It will load the store. Yeah.
But so here I am, and by the way, this is an impressive list. Looking at these are apps from Microsoft. These are iPad apps. It goes on and on and on, including such fabulous things as Ms. Splosion Man.
by the way, it's called Office Sway, so you need to search
Office
for that.
Sway
because there's a game called Sway.
Yeah, of course. Connectimals Lite, OneDrive for Business. Wordament. There's a lot of games. Connectimals.
Look for a green eye. It's a green icon. There it is.
You see it?
You got it. Oh, no, that's B. Sorry, I thought that was an S.
BI. Business
intelligence. It looks just like that.
So I'm going to say look for Office Sway.
I mean, honestly, on an iPad, you might want to just use the web version so you can take advantage of the screen.
It works great in Safari. Mm-hmm. iPhone only. There that's it is. You're right. It's called Office Sway, by Microsoft Corporation. And for some reason, it's not showing up in the Microsoft bunch of apps. So
that's really strange.
There are even more. You know what? It's not Microsoft's fault. It's Apple's, obviously. Their store is crazy. It's crazy. So Office Sway.
Yeah,
is
I mean, on the web,
term.
It shows up with Microsoft's apps.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah.
And you're right. I think Safari would probably be better, given that you're limited to an iPhone version.
Yeah.
That's good. Like it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me put that away. You want to talk Xbox now, or should we?
Can we talk about
containers? Somebody calls the radio show on Saturday or Sunday, and says, "I read this article in the Wall Street Journal about containers. I have no idea. Do I need to know what containers are?" And I talked about Docker. It's kind of like a virtual machine, right, Mary Jo? Basically,
yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's like it is like a container. Like you can put your apps and your services in it, and it kind of isolates you from the operating system. So when there are changes, you kind of have your applications separate from the OS, right? And it's something developers like because it makes it easier to update and change things without, you know, breaking something because you update something and it breaks the other app or service or operating system that you have running. So it's becoming the big thing now.
Is this preferable to a virtual machine?
You know, I just had this conversation with Microsoft today, in fact, because they announced that they're going to have two kinds of containers in the next version of Windows Server. We already knew they were, well, three actually. They're going to have the ability to run sure. Linux apps, Linux on in a container, right? Mm-hmm. Then they're mm-hmm. going to have Windows Server containers, but they're also going to have Hyper-V containers, and Hyper-V is their virtualization technology. So I had always thought of Docker containers as kind of the opposite or the antithesis of a container, but no. Microsoft says that if you need something to be truly isolated, if you're in a multi-tenant environment, for example, or you're running third-party software you don't trust, you know, it's not an app you built, but something you're running from someone else, you can wrap it in Hyper-V and run a virtualized container. So that's also going to be in Windows Server 2016. So it is kind of like an alternative to virtualization technology, but it can be used in combination with virtualization as well. Does that make any sense?
No.
I'm doing my best.
what I told the guy is don't worry about it. It's a hot topic right now. In fact, we interviewed the Docker guys on Floss Weekly last week.
Yep.
And I said, when the Wall Street Journal writes about something like that, they're not writing about technology. They're writing about investment opportunities. And so what they're really saying is look for companies in the container business.
Yeah.
But really, Docker kind of owns it right now.
Yeah. Well, Docker is like the deployment engine that everybody talks about when they talk about containers.
Oh, it's not the actual technology.
The containers themselves are what Docker manages, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you go on Docker's website, if you really want to see like what is a container, if you go to docker.com and what is Docker, they have some nice block diagrams there where they show you, here's how a virtual machine works, and it sits on top of a hypervisor, host OS server. And then when you have Docker containers and Docker engine, it shows you a different picture where you don't need to have that virtualization layer necessarily.
Okay.
I cannot tell you how much this topic excites me.
I can tell. It's like Xbox, right?
Well,
it's
kind of like you know why people are interested in this?
No.
Don't. Go on. Because, well, for a couple of reasons. If you're a developer, everybody's kind of familiar with this notion because you would spin up an instance on EC2, on Amazon's Elastic Cloud or on Azure. And then if you're – and this is what's interesting in the news is you'll be able to run server out of it, right? And you can make a nano server.
Oh, yeah. So nano server is the other thing they announced today, which it's funny. We had this as our code name of the week last week, Tuva, T-U-V-A.
Yeah.
So that was nano server, and Microsoft hadn't publicly confirmed it, but today they did, and they said there is going to be a nano server mode for Windows Server 2016. And what it is, it's a really stripped-down version of Server. They say it's going to be 1/20th the size of the Windows Server core right now. So it's only going to be those essential components you really need. And they're saying, if you are somebody who is thinking about running containers, this would be one of the best ways to run it. Run it on top of this nano server. We're going to hear a lot more about these two things at Build and also at Ignite. So this is just the tip of the iceberg on this. Paul's going to get to hear tons more about this in future episodes.
Oh, God. Sorry, what?
Well, it's...
Are we still talking about this? What happened?
It's Sandbox 2, which is kind of valuable.
Yep.
Soon you'll be running containers
Jeffrey
on your...
Jeffrey Snover today that...
Yeah, Jeffrey.
PowerShell was far more important than nano servers. And he said, what are you, Mark Rozenovich?
although Mark runs Azure, so I imagine he's all over containers.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's interesting because on the Docker site, it says Docker replaces Hypervisor.
I know. Yep. And Microsoft is saying there are some cases they think you could use Hyper-V and containers together.
Okay.
Stay tuned. More to come. They're going to show off containers at Build, they said they're going to have some demos of Windows Server Next running it. And if you're wondering, you're one of those people wondering, when are you going to get the next preview of Windows Server? You know, it's not just mobile people care about, but server. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it in May. That's all we know right now. But sometime in May, we'll see the second preview of Windows Server 2016.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, is that the current build expires next week.
But they're going to extend
it. They're going to extend it, probably this Windows update or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't worry. Nobody panic on April
15th. I actually thought that was going to be the news today when I saw Windows Server had something, and then.
Yeah.
It was, it was even less interesting.
No,
this is good. So Paul has no interest in this. You have no interest in Xbox. This is good. We have our lines of demarcation. Yeah.
Trade-offs.
Speaking of Xbox.
Our areas.
The April 2015 update is out. Everybody should have it right by now.
Yeah, everyone should be able to get it now. Yeah. And not everything they talked about was actually in there. But the big one to me is, you know, this is three or four big updates. But the big one is just, it's the achievement thing. You know, when you get an achievement, it pops up that achievement unlocked. And it gives you the name of the achievement. And it gives you how many gamer points you got, gamer score points. And that's it. You know, and you can press and hold on the Xbox button to see the achievement and learn more. But oftentimes this thing comes up in the middle of a game and you want to keep going. And so now what they do is they animate the achievement notification so that it shows you the description as well, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's a little thing, but it's really helpful. So that's kind of a cool one.
I also found this interesting. They're turning on the over-the-air antenna.
This is the one I was confused on. This is the confusing one because in Europe and in Australia, last October, I think, they started selling their own digital TV tuner, like a USB-based digital TV tuner. Which is a really elegant Xbox-styled looking device. And so starting now, people in the United States and Canada can access over-the-air TV on their Xbox One, but not using the Microsoft device, which, of course, you know, they have a different TV standard there. I just don't understand why they didn't make one for the North American market.
How does it work in the U.S. and Canada? You have another...
You buy a special Hoppage... piece of crap USB device. Oh. It seriously looks like it's 10 years old. It has a coax on one end, which you have to hook to an HDTV antenna, which, you know, of course. And I was telling Mary Jo, I recently actually just bought one of these antennas. It's attached
the
Wing
to
my
TV. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you attach the other one to a USB port on your Xbox One.
You know, the best thing to do, I have a TiVo that goes into my Xbox.
But Leo, you're missing the point.
TV. Yeah.
You're missing the point, Leo.
Yeah.
It doesn't just give you crappy quality TV over the air. It also doesn't record. So this is literally just live TV only.
Oh, this is dumb.
Yeah. It's
dumb.
After writing this up, what I was told was that a more elegant solution is coming, and presumably they're going to add recording at some point. I cannot believe you can't DVR.
Yeah, because right now I have to buy a second device, a TiVo, to do all of that.
Yeah,
but I mean, I've got ideally, a 3 terabyte drive on my Xbox.
I know.
It'd be great.
I know.
If I could just make that
no
the
sense.
DVR. Yeah.
So better than nothing, but only barely. And
well, it's a step. You know, the device. It's a first step.
Well, they introduced this thing for, you know, Europe and Australia last year. I was like, why would you start there? But, why would you just be there? I guess is maybe the better way to say it. But yeah, we're getting there. So it's a step. If you want live TV, you know, obviously non-premium channels.
Well, that's the other thing. You need something with cable card capability, which this does not have. And since, so you won't be able to use it with your cable. It's really for an antenna.
It's literally, it's for free. Well, you know, over the air, depending on the antenna, depending on your position and all that stuff, it can be very high quality. There can be tens of channels. You know, it's not terrible. it's not going to be ESPN.
And your cable company encrypts everything from 0 through 5,000. So for that, you can't use this. In fact, that's why I use a TiVo. I put a cable card in the back of it. That's my set-top box with Comcast. And and now I have the DVR. And the TiVo passes.
I was so excited when I saw this headline. I thought this was the big one.
No.
And then the more you get into it, it's so convoluted and weird. Third-party hardware. Like, what is this thing? It's literally live. You could pause live TV. They give you that.
There's some buffering going on. Yeah.
There's some buffering, yeah. Huh. You can snap it. You could watch TV in a little window while you play a game if you wanted to do that.
There's Channel Master if you want to do that DVR thing with antenna over the air, and that would work also.
I literally just bought like an antenna, and I have a Hopash card on my PC, and I've been using it with Windows Media Center just to kind of reacquaint myself with this thing. I haven't used it in a while. And the antenna I'm using is an inside antenna, but it's big, and it kind of slaps onto the window like a big lamprey kind of
good.
See, yeah. Kind of thing.
Bet you Stephanie loves that.
Well, it's in my office.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to stay in
the
office.
The cat is desperate to pull this thing off the window.
It's going to stay there.
Yep, it's glue. It's on.
Not there. On my windows, you know.
Actually, I think it will come off, but it will take the pain of the glass. I mean, it will just come right.
Connect. Oh, this, you know, we were talking about what's going on with Connect for Windows. They hadn't updated it. Well, didn't need to, I guess.
Mary Jo wrote about this, didn't she?
Yep, I did.
So what's the story?
Yeah, so, you know, there were two Kinects. There was the Kinect for, well, actually three. Kinect for Xbox 360, Kinect for Xbox One, and then there's the Kinect sensor for Windows.
Right.
Microsoft announced last year that they had created an adapter kit so that if you were using Kinect with Windows, you could actually use the Xbox One Kinect and not have to use the Xbox Kinect.
Okay.
But now they've decided that they're discontinuing making the Kinect for Windows. So they're saying if you're somebody who wants to build an app for Kinect for Windows in the future, you should just use the adapter kit and build it so that it works with the Xbox One Kinect. So, you know, we've been kind of wondering how much Microsoft was going to go forward with this whole Kinect on Windows and Kinect even for Xbox. Now that they've decoupled selling the Kinect from the Xbox. And it turns out they're going to continue to support you. They're still going to have resources going into this. But it feels a bit de-emphasized, I have to say. They're saying they're still actively recruiting developers and they still want people to build Kinect for Windows apps. But now they're consolidating it so that they're not making two Kinects. They're just making the one.
All right.
One Kinect for all.
And it's a not powerful Gable. Device. I mean, the one on Xbox One is really kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's. I want to get the calendar down here because you're going to be at Ignite. You're going to be at Build. You're going to be all over the place.
Oh, so, it's worse than you think.
We talked a little bit about it last week, but I want everybody to understand what's coming up. So, Build is first, right?
Build is first.
What is that date?
April 30th, Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday night at Build, we're having a meetup at a place called the Irish Bank, which is a bar.
It's a good name,
not a bank.
It's good
not,
name.
A, not a bank. It's a bar.
It's a bar.
5:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. No RSVP needed. Just show up if you want to come. And you don't have to be an attendee of Ignite. If you just happen to be in San Francisco and you want to meet up with me, Paul, a bunch of other Microsoft bloggers who are coming to the show who say they're going to come to the meetup. Chris Woodruff, who is the guy who organized this for us. All of us will be there, and we're just going to drink beer and eat snacks and talk. That's
nice.
Nice. That's it.
Then the next day, you're going to come up to Petaluma, and we're going to do Windows Weekly on maybe a Friday that week.
Yeah, you should explain, Leo, do you have to RSVP this time? Is that
how we don't want you to just show up. We want you to email tickets at twit.tv. It's limited space, and we want to make sure we can get everybody in. Tickets at twit.tv.
Is it fair to say there will be a mountain of shrimp on ice, or is it
and a chocolate fountain.
There it is.
Yeah.
Good.
That's
a train that rides around the whole place and delivers food.
You can ride the train. It's full size. It's the easiest way to get from Studio A to Studio Z.
It is a big facility.
It's a giant facility. Giant. Yep. 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time.
That's May 1st.
First day of May. May Day. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
We're going to get a little maypole, and I'm going to make sure that you guys wear little laurel wreaths and skirts and dance in your dirndls.
I'll only be wearing pastel colors.
Yep. It'll be lovely. 2100
UTC. We still have snow in our yard, by the way. Just to give you an idea of how much.
What? No.
How desperate I am for spring.
No.
Like, we still have snow. It's not everywhere. We see ground, but there is snow still left, yes.
You know, you should come out the weekend before because it's Butter and Eggs Day in Petaluma.
I will. God,
you could come to the Butter and Eggs Day parade.
What is Butter and Eggs Day?
What? You don't know?
I've never
heard
of it.
It's world famous.
It's our day. It's a day we in Petaluma take to celebrate the renown of Petaluma butter and Petaluma eggs.
Wow.
I mean, do you cotton to outsiders at such an event?
It's a fun parade. It's a small town parade. So what we do is everybody's in the parade, but the requirement is when you get past the reviewing stand, you go sit down and watch the other people. That way everybody gets to be in it, but also there's an audience.
So the parade, in effect, kind of leapfrogs forward.
Yes.
You know, like the crowd.
It's like a centipede.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. There's tractors. There's chickens.
Aw.
There's chickens riding tractors. It's, no, it is actually really fun here. If it's a nice day. If it rains, it's very sad. But, you know, the Lions Club has their pancake feed in the morning, all you can eat.
Oh, my God.
And there's a contest, the cutest little chicken town contest, where parents humiliate their children by dressing them as chickens.
Oh, man.
And then parade them for cash prizes. So that's good. There's are they going to do the cow patty toss again this year? Because I think there was an accident last year.
That's the big, on Dedham Day, the big event is we put a cow in a field.
Yeah.
And it's gridded off.
Yes.
And you buy a grid. And if the cow poops in the grid, you win the contest.
Yeah. Many small New England towns do that.
We don't have a lot going on in Dedham.
We don't do this in New York for some reason. I'm not really
sure.
Yeah,
that's where the term cakewalk comes from. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah. It's a cakewalk. Look it up.
Okay.
Yep.
And of course, I, as always, dress in a suit made of butter.
Of actual butter.
Actual butter.
Yeah, you better hope there's not a heat wave.
Well, you don't want rain either. It's a difficult. Yeah. There's a fine line.
You can like slip and slide your way down the street.
You want the Goldilocks weather. So that's May Day. We're going to be here in studio, and please do come. We'd love to have you. Tickets at twit.tv. And then Ignite is what, the following week?
The following week in Chicago.
Okay. Well, that's on your way home at least.
Yeah. So the first event, I can't still disclose full details on this, but if you're at Ignite on Sunday, the day before it starts, there's going to be a beer lovers event that you are not going to want to miss. And I'll talk about it more next week on Windows Weekly, but I can't disclose everything on that yet.
It's too bad Chicago doesn't have any good beer.
I know. Too bad, right? Yeah. Darn.
Oh, rats.
Now, they have a lot of good beer, and it should be very fun. And then Paul and I are going to have a meetup for Windows Weekly listeners who happen to be in town and want to come and meet up on Monday night. We haven't got the venue yet, but we'll let you know that next week also. It'll be another RSVP, just show up kind of deal. Then Paul has another event.
Yeah, I didn't put it in the notes. But so on Tuesday, my workplace is a Petri.com, Throughout.com happy hour event. On Tuesday, May 5th from 5:30 to 7:30 local time. It's going to be at Kroll's South Loop in Chicago. And I think, I'm not sure how this works. I think you have to, if you register and you're among the first 300 people who register, you get that that Throat Petri beer stein, which is awesome. And then we're going to be, it's like a special edition for Ignite. And then finally after Ignite, I think we're going to start selling coffee mugs and steins and stuff. Neat.
I love the coffee mug. I really do.
Yeah.
Wait till you see the stein. It's awesome.
Does it have
it's
that really, logo, the T on it?
Yeah, but it's like, it's etched. Actually, it's phenomenal.
Nice.
Save me one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And before we take our break, the last item on your list, Build Tour. So they're going to take Build around the world?
What's that? So obviously not everyone can get out to San Francisco for the week-long Build event that's happening. So they're going to have day-long events in many cities around the world, North America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, New Zealand. And they start, I think they start right after Build, and they go all the way through the end of the summer. So if you go to, or how do you find out about this?
And they're free. We should note they're free. Yeah. And then Microsoft is going to have representatives from different teams at them. So it's not like you're just sitting there looking at webcasts. There's going to be live people there to ask real questions.
Yeah. I don't have a simple website for you to go to.
No.
Actually, go to build15.com. That should do it. And Yeah, find out if this is. There's not one in Boston, which is a little disappointing, I have to say.
Oh, there isn't? Wow.
There's got to be one, though, somewhere like New York or
something.
Well,
somewhere. New York City,
New York.
Probably.
Yeah, there is. New York City.
Chicago, Toronto, London. Atlanta, Austin, Los
Angeles.
And
also many cities outside the U.S., too.
Yeah, many outside the United States. That's right. Brazil, there's one in Brazil.
I think this is a time for developers to get excited about Windows.
Yeah.
I mean, this really is an opportunity. Yeah. Brush up your XAML. Start it today. Yep. All right, the back of the book coming up. Paul and Mary Jo have picks, beer, great stuff. I have food. Blue Apron. You know, I have to say, cooking is one of the greatest satisfactions ever. And I know a lot of you go, I can't boil water. I mean, but making a meal for somebody you love and they eat it and it just warms your heart. But who has time? We're working. You want to go shopping, plan the meal, all that. Blue Apron is so cool. You get a box. In the box, it's refrigerated. Nothing's frozen, by the way. It's all fresh. Is everything you need to make an incredible meal. It's easy, too, because not only do you get the ingredients, fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned. You also get step-by-step recipe instructions, including beautiful images. It's all on a glossy coated stock, you know, suitable for saving. And what's neat is you make this meal, and they're amazing meals. You don't have to take a trip to the grocery store. There's no waste for unused ingredients. It's less than $10 a meal, about 500 to 700 calories each, so they're very healthy. But then you know how to make it. And I tell you, it's a great way to start. Now, they change the meal plan all the time. You'll never get the same meal twice in a row. They have a family plan for larger groups with kid-friendly meals. Let's look at some of the things. Beef, I don't even know what this is. Beef dukbaki. It looks good. It looks like bulgogi with the quick kimchi and sugar snap peas. It looks really good. Matzah-crusted chicken with orange, fennel, and golden beet salad. Lentil-crusted salmon. With spinach yogurt, dal, and apricot chutney. You want to impress your honey? You got a big date night coming up? Light a couple of candles and fire up the Blue Apron. Baby fennel, grapefruit, and almond salad with olives. Radishes and wild rice. And spiced turkey meatball pitas with sugar snap peas. And bib lettuce salad. Incredible meals. What's nice is they'll work with you. You're not going to have a box on your doorstep when you get home from vacation. They don't deliver unless you're ready for it. Shipping is free. And I'm going to get you your first two meals free right now at blueapron.com/twit. blueapron.com/twit. You choose a delivery day that fits your schedule. Ingredients arrive in a refrigerated box, so the food is fresh even if you're not home. I think we've got two Blue Apron boxes right now in the lobby because we get two so we can share them out with the staff. It's really fun. They like Blue Apron Day here. blueapron.com/twit. Try it today. Two meals, your first two meals free. Let's kick things off with Paul Thurrott in the back of the book and your tip of the week.
So you may remember that last November, I think, Microsoft temporarily offered something called the Work and Play Bundle. $149. Office. It gave you a year of Office 365 Home, Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Music Pass, and then Skype Wi-Fi plus Skype Unlimited World. So if you add all that stuff up, that's like $425 worth of stuff for $150. The only problem was you could only get it at a physical Microsoft store. It was like a card. Or so. It was basically probably a little card container that had four cards in it or whatever with the product keys. They're bringing it back again. Again, it's temporarily only in the United States, unfortunately. So if you live outside the U.S., you can't get it. Also only available from the Microsoft store, but this time it's only available online. So if you go to Microsoft.com/workandplay, all one word, you'll see a product page for it. It will give you all the details about the stuff you get. If you use any two of these things, I would say it's basically kind of a no-brainer. I mean, Office 365 Home plus Xbox Live Gold, that's $160 right there. You'd save money just by buying the Work and Play bundle, and you can have the other stuff for free. I use three of the four of these things, and so this is a tremendous value. You can stack it. You're just getting product keys. So if you're already paying for Office 365 Home, you get this. You can add this to your account. It will extend your subscription up for another year.
Are they going to do this like every year, do you think?
I don't know. I think they're the way it was described to me is they're kind of test marketing it. They're trying different things. Let's see how this works. I just don't understand why this just isn't a thing. Like, I really feel like they should just have these key cards hanging in the store. They should have them online, and you should be able to get them everywhere. It's such a tremendous savings. And I think it would also get people to use things where they might not. You know, people might look at Xbox Music Pass and say, yeah, I don't really think I want that. But when you basically are getting it for free, you might throw it on your devices. You might look at it. You might start actually using it.
And these are mostly subscription things. So they're going to get next year. Yeah. They're going to get your money. It's actually a very smart way to do it.
Yeah, this is a huge value. Yeah. So you know, again, it's U.S. only. I apologize if you're...
Well...
That's the U.S.
We are the best
country. You can't control where you live. I mean, sorry.
Come on. We are number one.
Software pick is based... It was based on a reader wrote in. He was asking me. He says, you know, I know on the Apple side of the fence, you could use Keynote, the app, and then you could control it using your phone using Keynote as well. There used to be a Keynote remote, but now it's just built into the Keynote app. So you're doing a presentation on your MacBook or whatever. You want to, you know, you're walking around the room maybe, and you can control it with your app. And the advantage of that is if you look down at the screen of your phone, it will show you the next slide. It will show you your notes. You don't have to be standing right on top of your computer. Is there anything like that on the Windows side? And the answer is yes. And as it turns out, it's a nice coincidental thing, because we were just talking about how Windows Phone users are so burned because all these apps that Microsoft makes are turning up on other platforms, or sometimes they make apps first on other platforms. And this app is an example of one that, as of today, I mean, this will change now that I'm highlighting it, but is available only on Windows Phone, and it's called Office Remote. And it allows you to do what I just described. You're giving a PowerPoint presentation on your laptop or whatever, and this allows you to control it from your smartphone, and it does exactly what it sounds like. It's a way to control PowerPoint in this case. Free app, so if you use PowerPoint, it's something to look at, out for, and is something to have that you can't get on iOS or Android until probably tomorrow. I'm sure they'll port. You know, I'm sure it's coming. But. Yep.
Our enterprise pick of the week with Mary Jo Foley.
The enterprise pick is called Revolution Analytics. And Revolution Analytics is the name of a company that Microsoft announced they were buying in January. So what they do, Revolution Analytics, is they make a distribution of the programming language that's called R, the letter R. And R is very key in statistical computing and predictive analysis, machine learning. It's really a very important language used by many statisticians and data scientists. So when Microsoft bought Revolution Analytics, we weren't really sure what they were going to do with it other than, you know, take their distribution of R and do something with it. This week, because they closed on that.
Is R the pirate language? R. What are you programming? R.
No, it is not.
No, but seriously, what are you programming?
R. R, me matey.
Or if you're from Boston, ah.
Ah.
The ah program.
Ah program. I program an ah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would not want to be in that room.
Sorry. Anyway, back to Revolution.
Sorry.
Analytics.
is the R in Revolution? Is that related? I mean, they're related, I guess.
I would assume. Yeah. That's why. Yep. Yep. They call their slogan is Revolution R for the Enterprise. So Microsoft's taking the R technology and they're going to build it into a future version of SQL Server, as well as a future version of HD Insight, which everyone knows is Hadoop, and also Azure Machine Learning. So if you're using any of those products from Microsoft, either on-premises, in a hybrid configuration, or in the cloud, at some point you're going to be able to get directly to R, that distribution of R, because it'll be built in. They also, though, said they're going to keep going with the open source things that Revolution was doing before Microsoft bought them. So they're going to continue to support those open source projects that Revolution was engaged in and keep their distribution working across Linux, Teradata, and Hadoop. So Microsoft's going to use this stuff internally, but also allow the pieces that were not directly connected to Windows to thrive and grow. There you have it. R.
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 R is a different implementation of the S language.
That's helpful, isn't it?
I'm not kidding. S for stats. And then they thought, well, we'll be one better. We'll do R. Speaking of R, Redstone. Now, I'm going to guess. The code name Redstone for the big update next year for Windows 10, I think comes from the Redstone rocket. Right? Wasn't that the rocket system used in Mercury, I think? One of the early
Before Mary Jo tells you what it really stands for, we were kind of looking at this together on over Skype or whatever, and I said, you know, it's funny, the first result in Google search is what it really is. But if you look at the second result, it's Redstone Lickers.
Lickers, as we would say here in Boston. I love Redstone Lickers.
I kind of like to think that that's the real reason.
You know, I'm Googling it right now, and I don't get Redstone Lickers. I think that's a specialized search result. Paul Theratte.
I think it is,
Redstone Lickers.
Redstone Lickers. There's Sumner Redstone. He's the chairman of Viacom, or former chairman of Viacom. What does the code name Redstone refer to?
Redstone is something from Minecraft. Remember, Microsoft bought Mojang, the maker of Minecraft.
Get ready.
So, I know. So just like we were getting our code names from Halo recently, now I guess we're going to start getting them from Minecraft.
So to the Minecraft wiki we go.
Yes. And so the Minecraft wiki is really cool because when you use your cursor with your mouse, it turns into a torch or a sword. Because redstone is this element in Minecraft that's used to make redstone torches, redstone repeaters, and many other useful things. Although, as I was corrected when I wrote that by someone who plays Minecraft, they said it's used to create technology, not things.
I'm very sorry.
Objects.
You're probably mistaken. We use for technology, not for.
I was like, wow, I'm going to have to learn a whole new other set of code names now because now they're going to start using Minecraft code names. Mm-hmm. We need OMG Chad on here to start helping us with some code names.
You know, if you'd asked Michael, my stepson, he would have said, of course, that's Redstone. He knows exactly what that is. He would know exactly what that is. All 12-year-olds in the entire United States would.
and the interesting thing about Redstone, I'll also point out, is if you really dig and go deep into this code name, it's a foundational technology. Like, it's a building block to build other things. So if you think about Redstone as a code name, it means it's a foundational technology in Windows to build other things, like maybe build HoloLens stuff, like extend Windows to other platforms.
Do they do that with code names? I mean, do they think that
they think
far
like
ahead?
That. They do. Yeah, they do. They
so
think
it could be a
like
clue to what you might be doing with it. All right.
I mean, sometimes they just, you know, pick a city name or a color or a bittersweet shimmer, whatever, right? But sometimes they do try to make it stand for something.
I think the fact that it's a building block for technology in Minecraft probably is something that they were very aware of.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And finally, we need beer after that. So let's get something hot.
Yeah. Another thing that begins with R in a way. Rogue's Sriracha Stout is the beer pick of the week.
Ooh, I love the Rogue labels. You spot them a mile away, and so I always am drawn to
Sriracha,
them.
Sriracha, is that the pepper?
That's the hot red rooster sauce.
Yep. You know that hot sauce, Sriracha?
Yeah.
They take some of that, and they put it in the beer. And I've had other hot beers with hot chili peppers and ghost peppers and all before, but this one actually works, I think. If you like Sriracha, you're probably going to like this beer. You drink it and it gives you that little burn in the back of your throat, just a little. Paul's face is just all no right now.
I mean,
you're
supposed to use beer to cool the heat, not.
I really like and respect Mary Jo, and I know that she's a huge beer aficionado, and I love that about her, but I don't know what to say.
Your face was just like, oh no. But you know what? I was a doubter and I tried it.
I can feel the burn.
It definitely gives you the little burn. It doesn't give you the garlicky bit that you sometimes get with Sriracha, but you get the burn, the chili burn kind of thing. And you know what? I asked the guy from Rogue who I met who was pouring it. He said it would be really great with the steak. And I'm like, it probably would.
It would.
I think it also would work with tofu because it would be like the bland and the spicy kind of, right? No? Okay. That's my pick. Since I don't eat steak.
There's a selling point. You know, this would be a great beer to go with a tofu.
Well, arguably anything that has taste would go good with tofu. You know, it
the
just
more
has
taste,
to kind of show
better.
Up.
I can't believe you said that, Mary Jo.
I actually was trying to think what it would pair with. It would pair great with chocolate cake.
Anything, like, yeah. Anything yeah. like that, yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah, but tofu, yeah, I think it would. If you had a kind of a more of a bland tofu dish and not a spicy one, I think it would work. Sorry.
Craig, do you ever put sriracha on your tofu?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, basically, boy. You'd have a cube of sriracha.
Yeah, it's yeah. right.
Sriracha substrate.
If you like stouts and you like sriracha, give it a whirl.
All right.
It's not for everybody, but it's kind of interesting.
Okay, it's quite a qualification there. Right? But, okay.
I am stout. I don't know if that qualifies me. So that's it for Windows Weekly for this week. Yeah. A great show with Gabe All. Go back and rewind if you didn't hear the whole show, because it's a good one. You can find Mary Jo at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul's at thenewthurrott.com, T-H-U-R-R-O-T-T. They're both going to be in studio on May Day. Email tickets at twit.tv if you want to come here and watch them in Petaluma. They'll also be doing meetups at both Build and Ignite, so there's lots of places you can say hi to our lovable twosome, the kings of Windows journalism, my friends, right here, right now. Aren't they great? Let's hear it for them.
I still feel it burning in my throat.
We do this show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. If you want to watch live, just tune in live.twit.tv. After the fact, on-demand audio and video at twit.tv/ww or youtube.com/, I think it's Windows Weekly. All of our shows have their own YouTube channel now, so it makes it easy. You can subscribe to an individual show. You should also subscribe in your podcast app on your smartphone or your mobile or on iTunes or in Xbox Music, wherever you get your podcasts, because it is the best show on the planet. That's what the chat room says. Thanks for joining us. Hey, we'll see you next week right here on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.